So Psalm 125, and as we continue our series in the Songs of Ascent, I wonder what makes us feel secure. As most of us know, the concept of security is applied to many areas of our lives. We have alarms fitted to our homes and vehicles that we might use CCTV. There are smart doorbells like Ring, Nest, Tapo, and I think it's pronounced Eufy. And these products can connect to our smartphone via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. There is decent security at our ports and airports. There is special security provided for ships with dangerous or hazardous cargoes. There are teams of people looking after members of parliament and wealthy film stars. Indeed, in recent months, we might have seen recent news feeds reporting that a private security contractor is supplying former Royal Marines and veterans from the Parachute Regiment to secure UK synagogues. And as we consider these things, I think we can say that feeling safe or feeling secure, this has been and continues to be a significant issue for many people. It's a concept that has paved the way for a host of different professions and industries that generate a lot of money. And as we get closer to our text for this evening, I take it that the theme of security is also found in Psalm 125, specifically the permanent security that the Lord gives to his people. Now, just before we explain what the psalmist is saying, at the top we are told it is a song of ascents. And summarizing previous studies, these songs were used by God's people as they made their way up to Jerusalem. And we use the word up because Jerusalem is in the Judean mountains, many hundreds of meters above sea level. But having addressed the superscription or the editorial addition there, just as our author is unknown, we are also unable to say what it was that prompted the songwriter to compose this psalm. But having said that, I don't believe we are poorer for this. Instead, let's take in with listening ears what the first audience heard, and let's be ready to find lines of application for the church today. Well, having introduced our text and shared some early handholds, at verse 1, the security of God's people is described in permanent terms. Verse 1, can you see it there in your Bibles? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. So, in the first part of verse 1, our author uses a simile to encourage his listeners. Our songwriter says that those who trust in Jehovah, and by implication his covenantal promises, these people are like is the simile, these people are like a mountain called Zion. Opening this some more, those who trust in the Lord's covenantal promises are like the mountain on which Jerusalem stands. And as our author reflects on the solid nature of that mountain, he uses the mountain as a way of explaining the spiritual state of God's faithful people. We see this in the last half of verse 1. Men, women, boys and girls who have faith in the covenantal promises of the Lord, people like this, they cannot be moved. They do not totter. They don't stumble. They don't slip. In a world that is fallen and unstable, in a world that is full of useless idols, unwavering stability, certainty and assurance is found solely by faith in the Lord. And as we move to verse 2 now, our author continues to develop his theme. Can you look down at your Bibles with me? At verse 2 we read, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore." Now, as we think about the songwriter's vocabulary at verse 2, as we think about a circuit of divine care compassing God's people forever, if we've ever been on a European holiday to a mountainous country like Austria or Switzerland, we might have a frame of reference when it comes to being surrounded by mountains. Do we remember? Our taxi takes us from the airport. We go across that bustling city, and soon we find ourselves in the countryside. And not long after that, there is a steep climb with hairpin bends. And how do those cyclists manage it? And on arrival at our chalet in the mountains, after the clouds lift, we realize that we are surrounded by a range of imperious looking mountains capped with snow and ice. We are surrounded by scenes that fill us with awe and wonder. And as we return to our text, this is the picture that our songwriter is conveying more or less to his first audience. Our songwriter is pointing his hearers to the geography around the city, the old city of Jerusalem. And he tells them that those Judean mountains are a helpful way to remember the Lord's presence, his permanent presence in the lives of his chosen people, his covenantal people. Just as those solid mountains are found on every side of Jerusalem, likewise the Lord also unwaveringly surrounds his people. And he gives them his security. End of verse 2. He gives them his security from this time forth and forevermore. And as we consider this promise from the Lord to his people, as we think about divine protection that goes beyond time as we understand it, well, I don't know about you, but this statement of fact is unsearchable. It is so other that it can only come from one whose thoughts and ways and purposes and plans are far higher than ours. But for sure, we know how to offer somebody security. Up to a point, we know what we can provide. We can give, in some cases, 24-hour protection throughout the year, but an offer of this magnitude, of this size, it does come with significant costs for mortals like us. It's not cheap. There will be bumps along the way, and mistakes are made because we are fallible. I'm sure many of us saw those headlines back in April this year, in which 5 Met police officers were reported to have been removed from frontline duties after a bag containing firearms, ammunition, and a taser were found by a member of the public close to the home of the current mayor of London. In strong contrast to those scenes and that day in the Met, at Psalm 125 and verse 2, the songwriter is emphatic. Just as the mountains surround the old city, the ancient city of Jerusalem, so the living Lord God, he surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. That is to say, when it comes to the Lord and his people, the apple of his eye, there are no blips. There are no mistakes. There's no nodding off. No forgetfulness. He is our shade. He watches over us during the daytime and the nighttime. He is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And the reason why God's people of every generation need to hear this and be encouraged by this is because God's people in every age must contend with all sorts of dangers and pressures and contentions in life. And reference to danger is made at verse 3. Can you see it there? for or because the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. So why does the Lord intentionally surround his people like a range of mountains? The living Lord God, he surrounds his people like a range of mighty mountains because in this fallen world there exists the scepter of wickedness. Exploring the language a little bit, there is a malevolent rod. There is a heavy club used to inflict pain and suffering and division. There is significant power and rebellion against the Lord and against the Lord's people. And thinking first about the original audience who received this song in ancient times, if the power of ungodly men is allowed to rest or remain over the covenant people of God, the land given to them by the Lord, their homes, their families, their livelihoods, this ungodly power, this malevolent rod, it has the potential to trigger a bad reaction in the Lord's people if they are left under duress, if they're left under pressure for a long period of time. When wickedness manifests itself in powerful ways in the lives and the minds of God's people can, whoever we are, we can be tempted to react badly because we are desperate, because we are frustrated, we are annoyed, or conversely, we can react in bad ways because we don't want to look different to the rest. We just want to blend in and be forgotten about. And as we take in this detail, so hopefully we begin to see more clearly why believers of every generation need the Lord to surround them like a circuit of mighty mountains. This world, this fallen world, this side of glory, as we wait in the now for the not yet, this world is a dangerous place for the humble man, the humble woman of God. And in our fallen nature, we are easily persuaded when it comes to taking the wrong pathways in life. Whether it's God's people experiencing doubts under Joshua's leadership during the allotting of the land in Canaan, or the exiles back in Judah after those 70 years in Babylon, the exiles are back in Judah and struggling to rebuild the temple because of apathy on the inside and various enemies ranging against God's people on the outside. Or even, as we bring things up to date, the Reformed Church today trying to stand up for all of God's word, despite what the world says and various elements of the church might say. Or, as we focus more locally, the antisocial behaviour on our streets in which wheelie bins are overturned for no reason and a front door is inexplicably attacked one Saturday night. As the sceptre of wickedness falls on us and our neighbours, we can be easily persuaded to choose the wrong reaction, which is why the Lord's people need the Lord to be encircling them all the time, lest the righteous stretch out their hands and do wrong. Well, having covered off verse 3, we come to our last two verses for this evening. And as we do, our songwriter closes with a short prayer which contains some contrasts. At verses 4 through 5 we read, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." So at the start of verse 4, our songwriter, he's continuing to think in covenantal terms. That is, when he asks the Lord to do good to those who are good and upright in their hearts, the writer is asking the Lord to be for his people a source of divine pleasure, a source of divine joy, a source of divine benefit, favor, and righteousness. Said another way, our author is asking the Lord to be the God of his people and to surround them with his protection and to surround them with his care and keep them faithful to the last. But, verse 5 now, those who choose to pervert God's way, to run down his gospel, to turn their backs upon the Saviour, well, these ones, they need to look out, because the Lord will, and do notice the certainty of this, the Lord will lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Yes, those who have exerted themselves on the broad way that leads to eternal destruction, those who have, if you like, been gasping for the vanity and the transient pleasure and treasure of this world, in the end, the living Lord God, he shall give them over to what they want, life without him. And by their own plans and schemes, they shall store up for themselves the wrath of God that is to come. And the Apostle Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 to 31. You don't have to turn to those verses, I'll read them for us. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. So once the living Lord God, as it were, folds his arms rather than opening his arms in mercy and compassion, we can follow that picture, if you like. Once that decision is made, notice what happens. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are, in the active sense, full of envy, full of murder, full of strife, full of deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips. They are slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, as if there wasn't enough evil and malice in the world already. They invent more ways to be evil and truculent before God. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, and they know that in their minds and in their hearts, they not only do these things, but they give approval. They applaud those who practice these things. Yes, those who actively, intentionally turn aside to crooked ways and devious ways outside God's gospel, they shall in the end be led away by the Lord with all the other evildoers and workers of iniquity, and they shall forever in hell consider the folly of their ways and that awful decision to wholly reject the Lord and his gospel. Because, end of verse 5 now, as we think about that prayer for peace to be upon Israel, it is only the Lord and his gospel that can guarantee grace and peace for the sinner. Well, having explained the text, how might we add to the applications that we've already made? And how might this ancient song become part of our playlist? Well, during our long-term series in Mark's Gospel, Jesus promises the church that before the end of all things, just as his gospel shall be heard, there will be significant upheaval in the cosmos and also on earth. As creation groans, God's people shall be hauled in before various officials. God's people shall be betrayed by members of their own family. And where Jesus teaches that his disciples must not be anxious about how to respond, because in these moments the Holy Spirit will give every word needed to explain and defend the gospel, surely that level-headed mind and heart finds a link back to Psalm 125 and verses 1 through 2, that those who trust in God the Saviour, that they can be certain that they are surrounded by the Lord. His mountains of grace and protection are surrounding them as they find themselves in those moments of pressure. In a world that is chaotic, in a world that is shifting, in a world that is frankly, deeply, profoundly uneasy with itself, in a world where we need to watch out for what Paul calls sheep in wolves' clothing and what Jude calls hidden reefs, knowing by faith that our Lord and our Saviour surrounds us like a ring of mighty mountains, that God's children in Christ are immovable, whatever our opponents might say or do to us, knowing that we have divine cover and protection and concern like this in our lives as we prepare for the second half of this working week, as we think about all that the Lord means to us and everything that we mean to Him, well, this divine security should humble us and it should spur our hearts to worship and praise. Finally, just as our dear Lord and Saviour prayed for His people before He was crucified for our sins, just as Jesus said, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Let's take to heart that spirit of prayer for God's people. We see it in the songwriter at verses 4 through 5. We hear it also in the mouth of our beloved Saviour. And so with that spirit of prayer in mind, let all of us make time each day to ask the Lord to be our God, personally and corporately, that God would be faithful, that every day He would, by His gracious Spirit, surround us like a mighty ring of mountains, and that He would not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. But with the temptations as they come, He will also provide that way of escape that we might be able to endure them. And that those amongst us who have for now turned aside to crooked ways, that we would remember them also, so that one day, and before it's too late, we shall know the peace of God in Christ together forever. Amen.